Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As I've mentioned over these past few weeks, as we spend our time in the farewell discourse of John's Gospel, chapters 14 to 17, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is about to come upon them. And the theme here is not just preparation, but consolation. And this is not the kind of consolation or comfort that seeks to coddle them, the way that we might try to console an out-of-control baby, or the way that we seek comfort in the midst of trial and difficulty, ease. He is not seeking to bring them ease. He is trying to keep them focused. He is trying to keep them focused on what is really important, the most important things. And in so doing, by keeping focus on the most important things, that they would have hope. That is, that they would be sure and certain in their expectation of good things to receive from God in the future. That despite what they see with their eyes, appearances are often deceiving. And so beginning in chapter 14, our Lord says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He ends chapter 16 with, "Take heart." He is not coddling them. He's giving them courage. Encouragement. "Let not your hearts be troubled," he says. "Believe in God and believe also in me. Because I am going to the Father by way of his cross and passion, by way of his resurrection and ascension, having accomplished the forgiveness of sins, I am going to the Father whose house has many rooms, and I am going there to pray. To prepare a place for you." So that he will remain and dwell with them, and they with him, here in time and also there in eternity. Take heart. Be of good courage. Let not your hearts be troubled, weighed down. Chapter 15, our Lord tells them a parable. He says, "I am the true vine. You are the branches. The Father is the vine dresser. And the Father is going to prune you in order to make you more fruitful." Luther has a delicious bit on this in his commentaries and teaching on John's Gospel. It appears to us when we prune and cut this bit or that bit out that it's no big deal. But from the perspective of the vine, they cry out, "What are you doing to me? Why are you causing this pain?" Our Lord prunes us. He is going to prune the disciples in the things that they are about to face. And Jesus is giving them consolation to know that there is a plan and a purpose behind what the Father is doing in order to make them more fruitful. That they would not give up hope. That they would have courage to remain steadfast and the task that he is going to set them to. In chapter 16, where we have spent most of our time, he says, "Remember, it is to your advantage that I go away. You will have sorrow, and the world will rejoice over your sorrow. But your sorrow will be turned to joy. Because if I do not go away to the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Paraclete, will not come. And when he does come, that will be a glorious day, because when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That by the word of truth, by the preaching of the prophets and the apostles, and of Jesus himself, the world will be judged. With regard to sin, because they do not believe. And in that judgment against the world, those who do believe have a judgment for reconciliation with God. He will judge the world concerning righteousness, that he goes to the Father. And that he will convict the world concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world, that is Satan himself, the fallen angel, has been judged. That in what is about to take place, Christ has won the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil and hell. And then in our text today, he reminds us that we will not just have joy, but that in that joy, we will have courage, because he has overcome all these things. In the world, you will have tribulation. But have courage, I have overcome the world. This word for tribulation is a squeezing, a pressure from the outside, almost as if you feel the walls closing in, feeling strangled and squeezed and pressed in upon, where you feel like you can't move, where you have no agency or no action with which to take. Jesus knows that the tribulation of the world is going to come upon us as it has come upon him. And he says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. When we are squeezed in this life, when we see on the news or hear about bad things happening, that they're all just so bad, when we see all these things taking place, we are tempted to say, what can be done? Who am I? To shrug our shoulders, to say whatever. But our Lord says, don't run away from these things. Again, he is not coddling them. He's giving them a courage to stand firm and remain steadfast, to be be fruitful. And so he says, ask. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. We often forget that our fathers, as we were growing up, often rewarded us when we had done something well, to give us something more difficult, harder, and better. This was their way of promoting us. You have handled this, now I'm going to move you on to this. Our fathers are but images of our Father in heaven. And he does the same. He prunes and rewards us once we have accomplished one good thing by giving us another, better, and more difficult one. He promotes us. And in the midst of that, he gives us access to himself in prayer. Not so that we can escape it, but so that we can endure it, have patient endurance in the midst of it. That we would call upon him the way those soldiers and troops in the Battle of the Bulge did not call upon those to send them comfortable blankets, but more ammunition. That we, as we are caught behind enemy lines, just like they, when we face these things that God has so arranged that we face, that we would call and ask him for support, for aid and help in doing what he has called us to do. That is why Jesus says, ask. And here he is not just talking about the things where we ask him to take away our pain or our sorrow, but for big, crazy things, as he teaches us in his prayer. That his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That his kingdom would come. And that his name would be hallowed, not just in our preaching and teaching, but in the lives that we live in accordance with it. Ask. Pray, in other words. Prayer, as you have undoubtedly learned, is a conversation with God. But too often we treat it as a one-way conversation. You should be praying with your Bibles open, listening to what God is speaking to you, and responding to that with what you need to help and support your life here in time. And these prayers should be planned. Of course, you do this in church. Week in and week out, we hear what God speaks to us and we respond in prayer. But they should also be planned daily. Our catechism has us praying 5 times a day. In the morning when you get up, in the evening when you go to bed, and before every meal. But we should also not neglect our personal and family devotions, where we are hearing God's word apart from Sunday morning and praying upon that word, asking God to be active here in time according to his promises. We have tried to help you in this regard by giving you the congregation at prayer and printing all of the names of the people for whom we're praying in the bulletin. That these names and these concerns would be lifted up not just on Saturday and Sunday, but every day of the week by all the people who gather here. That we would create a habit of prayer. And so prayer should be planned. But there are also spontaneous prayers. The prayers that come upon you when you hear the sirens going down the street. Luther, in his large catechism, says that the children should be taught, when any emergency arises, to make the sign of the cross and say, "Lord, have mercy." For often, as St. Paul says, we do not know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. That when you watch the news or hear some bad news, you hear sirens going by, to say, "Lord, have mercy." He knows all things. Ask him to have mercy upon that situation and upon all those people. These arise out of specific needs. All of this is to say that you should not feel as though you have no agency, that you have no control, that you are just at the whim of all the things that happen around you, because Jesus has said otherwise. He has given you a promise. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That he will prune you along the way, that he has already prepared a room, a dwelling place for you by means of his Son's death and resurrection. So ask, be bold. Go to him as dear children go to their dear father. Ask, and you will receive. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting.